start with these two questions every day, all the time. Anybody's word you're listening to, and it should start plugging in the holes about who is he? Who does he say I am? And when I get that resolved, now what do I do with it? I pray for the sin, right? I go preach Jesus. I go release the glory of God wherever I go. So, I was thinking about on social media about influencers. You ever heard the term? An influencer? And you get these, you know, usually, sorry, it's like, not to be offensive, but like these dingbat women.
Dingbat women.
These social media influencers.
You can talk to
people that want
to
grow up and be, I want to be an influencer.
Men don't do that?
Okay, men do it too. Sorry, it seems like there's more women. I don't know.
You're out one. There's more women here.
I'm not making a girl statement. I'm just saying, there's like, seriously, you think that's your job? To be an influencer?
It's easier than working.
And then you find out that they make money. Then you find out they make money. And you're like, oh my goodness, somebody's paying this person. Somebody's, right? And then they feel empowered and they feel special and they feel powerful. And I'm like, sometimes I just sit there and go, God, I don't get it. By the way, you know why they get zillions of dollars or they get lots of money?
Grand
sales.
It's marketing.
People click on them. People listen to them. People go, I wonder what so-and-so says. I wonder what they're doing. And that creates this more and more, right? They do. They have influence. So it made me wonder, who are my influencers? Because I guarantee you, everybody here, you have an influencer. You probably have many influencers. You absolutely have influencers. If you get up in the morning and you turn on Fox News or CNN or whatever, guess what? Influencer. You open and I get on Facebook, influencer. I listen to this radio station, influencer. I read these books, influencer. Why? They're getting their message into you. They're having an impact on you. Oh, I only listen to. Oh, I only watch. Influence. I mean, if you hang out with somebody all day long, okay, I'm gonna hang out with Trump all day long, every day. Guess what? I'm gonna start sounding like Trump. Right? Why? That's what I'm connecting with. That's what's in my spirit. That's what I'm letting flood me. That's what my mind's getting consumed with. So that's why Paul, when he's talking to the early church, he says, hey, if nothing else, just do what I do. He literally says, imitate me. Let me be your influencer. Because I want you to talk like I talk. Act like, respond like I'm responding. It's like, I'll help you get it. He's telling the early church, if nothing, because there's lots of voices out here. So it's like, imitate me. Imitate me. Right? So Paul's telling them, imitate me. Please imitate me. Right? I'm trying to, like, get you in sync with him. So, because I was wondering, it's like, probably in another generation, I would have said, who are your heroes? Influencer feels right for today. Because it could be a great preacher. It could be. That's why I was thinking this morning when I said, what if it's not a guy that you like, but all of a sudden he says something and it's like, swirl. Look, who you are depends on who's influencing you. Who you become depends on what's influencing you. What you do with yourself depends on what's influencing you. It's like, so that question of, when I said that question, who does God say I am? It becomes really, 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 really important, right? So when I say there's two questions, there's question one, question two, what I realize I haven't been saying enough of is, you can't answer question two looking at until you get question one answered, because that's how you answer question two, who am I? Because God has a lot to say about, let me answer the question for you. Let me be your influencer, right? Let me answer who you are, okay? So there's this engagement with Jesus and his disciples. It's in Matthew chapter 16. They just come in, they're getting harassed by Jesus, by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, basically the church leaders and the political leaders. They're kind of like, who do you think you are? Right? And they each have their template. Here's my religious template. Here's my political template. And Jesus says, here's who I am. And they're like, ah, prove it. Right? Show us the sign. And right? And that's when God tells them all, I'm not going to get pulled into your political games or your religious games. He calls it leaven. Beware of these guys that want to pull you into those traps of making it all about dance into their religion or dance into their political wins, right?
Calls it leaven,
right? This thing that would...
Yeast.
You know what it is?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
You know what leaven is and what he's saying? It's an influencer. It's like, what does leaven do? Comes in?
It spreads out.
Yeah,
so he says, hey, beware of the influence of the religious system and the influence of the political system, right? Who does he say should influence him? He says, our Father in heaven. Right? So here's what happens. And after that encounter, he goes to his disciples. And they're thinking, okay, who is this coming? And Jesus says to them, well, hey, all these crowds we just went through, who do they say I am? Well, some are saying you're this. Some are saying this about you. Some are saying this. And what does Jesus say?
What do you
say I am? Who do you say I am? Right? So Jesus is having this conversation in Matthew 16. I'll start in verse 15. And he's looking at Peter. Right? So that's the context of what's happening right now. He looks at Peter. And he says, but what about you? What about you? He says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter. And on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Right? Verse 16. Right? And he says, Peter answers, he said, you're the Christ. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He says, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah, right? That we heard about from the prophets, right? Because when Peter first heard about Jesus, the person who told about Jesus, anybody know?
Andrew.
His brother, Andrew. So his brother Andrew tells him about Jesus, but that's secondhand knowledge. Hey, you got to see this guy, right? But now what's happened inside of Peter, it's like, now it's firsthand. It's like that Peter understood. Scripture tells us by the Spirit of God, Peter got it. Remember we talked about that? It's like his spirit is connecting to our spirit. All of a sudden, we have one of those aha moments that happens. So that's what God's acknowledging. You didn't learn this in a book. The Spirit of God came and captured your heart and went inside you. Right? And so God's like acknowledging, Jesus is acknowledging, yep, that's what happened. Yay you, yay Peter, right? He says, and then he says this, he calls him this, Peter says, you're the Son of the living God. Why is that important? Because the language used to describe Jesus previous was Messiah. What does that mean? Messiah in Scripture refers to a Savior. It refers to this this liberator. It refers to a leader that's been chosen, pulled out of the crowd by God. Right? So when you go through the Old Testament, you can see them, right? You can see these ones that are pulled out in Scripture, right? But then Scripture tells you that the Messiah is coming. The Scripture points to Jesus, right? The Scripture says, hey, there is one coming who's bigger than anything. We've all of this, right? So when he says, you're the Messiah, it's like, okay, that's part of the story. The prophets have told me about this. But all of a sudden, when he says, you're the Son of God, it's like, you're connected to God the Father. It's not just something that's in prophecy. You're literally connected with heaven. You are from heaven, God's Son. So at this time, there would have been few that have had that revelation other than this inner circle of disciples that are all of a sudden are getting it. Oh my goodness, this is God's Son, right? Verse 17, he says, when Jesus responds to that answer from to Peter, he said, blessed are you, right? Blessed are you, Simon, son of John. Super says, Simon Barjona means Simon from John, right? Because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, right? But my Father who is in heaven. He said, blessed are you, Simon, not because you figured this out on your own, but the Holy Spirit spoke and you listened. It's like, that's what's being blessed here. That's what Jesus is saying. Well done, right? Well done, you listened to Holy Spirit influenced you and you said yes, right? Because all spiritual truth, all is gonna come by revelation. Right? You can read Scripture all day long, but until it's apprehended here, it's just words on paper, right? The Holy Spirit. That's why I encourage you to read Scripture. It's like, invite the Lord into your time. Invite him into your quiet time. Invite Holy Spirit into, God, I don't know what I'm reading. I have no idea what this means. Can you show my spirit what it means, right? And invite him to kind of like undo these things inside, right? Then he says, he calls him Simon Barjona, Simon son of John, son of Jonah. And I think it's interesting that Jesus, I feel like he's emphasizing that familial connection with Peter. Like, it's like, I know your father, and you know my father. We're connected. It's like, hey, I know your dad, and you know my dad.
I just think that's neat. And then he calls him
my father. Earlier in Matthew, book of Matthew, it says, let your light shine in such a way that people see his good works. Let your light shine in such a way that people see his goodness coming out of you, and it glorifies his Father who's in heaven. Remember what I said about that term, that word glory? Because glory is not just the Steven Spielberg when the angel shows up, the lights get go glow around you, right? I mean, demystify glory just for a moment. Glory is those things that point to the Father. Glory reveals the Father. Glory reveals the character, the nature of the Father. That's why when Jesus talks about being glorified, what's he saying? He's like, I came for this purpose, that you would know the Father, that you would know his love, that everything about him, about the cross, is the revelation of the Father, right? It's like, the whole purpose of, I mean, Jesus, it's like, oh, that you would know that the creator of the universe wants to know you as Father. That when, in fact, if you go, my favorite place in scripture is John, right? Yeah, that upper room, that sequence when they're, the Last Supper and him washing their feet and before he goes to the cross, and Jesus goes and he prays, he's praying before the righteous Father, oh, that they would know you like I know you. That's the prayer. Oh, that I've done everything to make your name known to them, right? Jesus is saying, oh, I just want them to know you as Father, right? And his whole business is about revealing the Father. So when Jesus says, Father, glorify your name, what's he saying? He's saying that everyone would know you as Father. That everything would point to you. Everything would reveal you. Oh, that all these people would be light bearers and beacons pointing to the Father. That's why it's so cool that the Bible has this special name for God, right? We always... In the Old Testament, God was like, don't let them see me. Oh my God, I hid from them because he's so up there and I'm so down here and I'm kind of a worthless peon. And if I got near him, he's going to crush me because he's God. And all of a sudden, Scripture introduces this word to describe God, and it's Abba. And you're like, believe me, the Jews would have known the word Abba. Right, this endearing term of, you know, think of a dad hugging his kids and just smothering with them kisses. That's the picture of Abba, right? It's like all of a sudden you've got this, he's not some far away in heaven, deep, mysterious God. You've got this, he's a father who cares about me. He's a father who knows what's hurting inside of me. He's a father who knows that I need him to like touch this, to fill this, to cover this, to help me with this, right? And it's like, and Abba Father, it's like the name of one who loves me so much that I can't even get my head around it. And Jesus says, let me show you that Father. That's the whole story of Jesus at the cross. Like, love so amazing, you're like, for me? Right? You know that in the Sermon on the Mount, which is in Matthew, which we've been reading from here, Matthew 5 and 6. Jesus refers to God as Father 17 times. That would have been a sermon that everybody on the hillside would have done this.
It's just like I did.
It would have blown their minds because all they've known is other, separation. And all of a sudden, Jesus, God's Son, comes and says, that's not my dad. Here's what he's like. And everything's about Father, Father, Father. So now when we get into the early church letters of these epistles, you know, like folks like Paul, it's like, now let me tell you about my dad. Let me tell you about Father. Back to that exchange with Jesus and Peter. It's in verse 18, he says, I say to you that you're Peter. You're Peter. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I'd love to sit with a cup of coffee and Jesus in heaven and ask about that this encounter. Because I think it's just amazing that Peter's name literally does mean rock. It's like, I guess God's just in control. I find that fascinating. Wow, his name really does mean rock. Yeah. But it's on this rock of aha. It's on this rock of, you gotta be kidding me. It's on this rock of the revelation of, your Father. You're not just Messiah. You're Father. I mean, Peter understood Jesus. He gets it, Son of God. Now I realize, wow, when he says I go from old to new, when he says I go from death to life, now something inside of Peter is going, oh my goodness, I get it. When it's like about, when he says the old has been made new, remember that thing that identified you, you felt identified you inside as like worthless loser, and I'm calling you son. It's like all that is born by this revelation of Father who says, you're my son. I'm calling you my kids. I'm letting you know, I love you so much. That's not how I see you. That's why when Peter's first sermon, which is in Acts, right? Acts 2, he gets up there. Guess what he wants to talk about? The resurrection, because the power of the aha of the old to the new, of death to life, of unloved to fully loved, is so powerful. It's like it's all pointed at in the resurrection. Death has no hold on Jesus. Death has no hold on anybody who puts their faith in him, right? And he talks to us about, he says, I'm going to build my church. You know, in the Gospels, which is this, the letters in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that they're the letters that are written about Jesus' time here. Right? You know, it's interesting, they only use the term church twice. This is one of them. In the Gospels, twice. And the epistles, after the cross, it's 100 plus. You hear this term, ecclesia. I'm sure Angel will talk on it sometime when he gets a revelation from God about time for ecclesia. Anyway, I find that interesting. Right? But he says, the gates of Hades won't overpower it. He's telling Peter, this aha moment, this waking up to Abba Father, this transformation of knowing who you are because of this love, that's the thing that overpowers Hades. Remember what I told you Hades was? That it's like, it's made up of this compound word, which was ha, which is like a negative, and ido, which means to see. It means Hades is not seen, not to see, right? So when he says, you haven't been seeing yourself, You've Hades represents this thing that has imprisoned me. I literally can't see who I am. And so it's like, so I have this inferior opinion of myself. I'm filled with fear and doubt and guilt and shame. It's like, so when he says that, and the gates of Hades won't overpower this, all of a sudden Jesus comes in and says, right? You were blind, but now you see. It's like I'm shining a light on who you are, right? So all of a sudden, Jesus says, this is the influence in your life because the Hades doesn't win. You're a seer now, all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I see who I am. I know my value. I know I'm God. I know I'm his son, right? The next verse he says, ah, it's like, aha, so here you go. So here's the keys. He says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Okay.
Real easy. What do keys do?
Yeah.
That's it. Open it, shut it. Open it, lock it. Right? So all of a sudden it's like keys to the kingdom. God sees you when he gave us this great baton pass when he went after the cross, after the resurrection, said, you're it. You're it. My spirit's in you. You're up. And oh, by the way, I need you to rule and take authority in my kingdom. Scripture says, you're kings. I've made you kings. Priests and kings, more on that, but so he's made us kings in this kingdom, right? So he didn't say, okay, let's just declare this area here is Switzerland, so this will be a no fire zone. So no, he literally says, look, there's no, I'm not here to live in a ceasefire with sin, but other people who don't see, I need you to help them see. Take the Hades blinds off and help them see. And, oh, by the way, I need them to see who they are in Christ. I need them to see that I called them to rule and power as well, right? It's like, you're not merely a priest who comforts the sick, although you are that, you're a comforter, right? But he says, you're a king, you have authority. You have authority over the enemy, right? And so what do kings do? What do kings do? Kings, I would say, kings release blessings. Where there's, in places where there's hurt and lack, kings bless. Kings bless those who are cursed, who believe they're living under a curse. I would say, kings command fruitfulness where there's barrenness. I would suggest that where there's health problems or hurt, kings are declaring wholeness. About where there's bondage, they're declaring freedom. Kings, or where there's lack, kings are declaring bringing provision. Right? Godly kings don't focus on the problem. God says, speak the solution. That's why he said, here's what you do in the midst of the storm. Speak to it. See that mountain right there? See that hurdle right there? Speak to it. We declare the reality of the kingdom of God. What are we? All we're doing is agreeing with what God has already said. God says, just say what I'm saying. Do what I'm doing. Let me influence you. Okay. He goes on and says, you know, the message is, hey, help them repent because the kingdom of God is here. And it's here now. So we get this, right? Jesus says, Peter, who am I? And the conclusion of this whole thing, what's God getting at inside of Peter? When we can say who he is, he can say who we are. It's only when I can wake up to this thing in my spirit with this revelation of who he is, all of a sudden, I get the revelation of who I am. So when Jesus says this is the revelation that's waking up the church, This is the thing that's releasing. This is the thing that's overcoming. This is the thing that's healing. It's what's happening. All of a sudden, his kids are waking up to who they are, walking in the authority and power of Jesus. Right? So now when you look at the rest of the New Testament after the Gospels, what do we see in the letters to the churches? And you see it in most of them, but I think one that's just totally fun is pick up your Bible, look at Ephesians 1, the church at Ephesus. And just look in the first chapter of Ephesians. The first chapter, you look at the first 14 verses, and all of a sudden, it's like Scripture says, I'm going to help you, remind you who you are, how he sees you, because you know him as Father. Now let me tell you how I know you. Because he says in those first opening verses of Ephesians, you're blessed. He says, you're chosen. You're adopted. Calls you redeemed, you're forgiven. He says you're lavished. He's just pouring out all his goodness on you. He says you're one I'm choosing to reveal myself to. And I chose you for praise. I want to remind you that you're included. And then my favorite, at the end, it's like in verse 14, he says, and you're sealed. The promise of the Holy Spirit has confirmed this, sealed this, make this. It's like, I'm not a brand kind of guy, but maybe it's like ladies might have a favorite purse, right? And it's a Coach purse, and there's a thing about a Coach purse that identifies it as a Coach purse, right? There are glasses that have a thing about them that says, oh, that's Valare glasses. Or I've heard about these shoes this week, and their shtick is some sort of red zip tie on it. And it's like, is there anything special about their shoe? But no, but it's branded, and everybody can look at it and go, ah, that's, it could be a computer. Oh, he's got a Dell. Oh, that's the back. It's got the Intel something processor. Oh, that's branding. That's the confirmation. You open this up, that's what's inside.
Because it's quality.
Yes! And that's what it's confirming to everybody. Oh, so when he says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, what's he saying? Chunk. It's like, I've been branded. Everybody can look and go, oh. It's this locks it in. This seals the deal. This is confirms it all. This is who I am, right? The enemy's trying to take that away. He's trying to get you to walk away from the confirmation. Here's who I am. Your whole life is a battle of reminding yourself, this is my identity. This is who I says. This is who he says I am. I keep this in play. I keep this confirmation. I walk in this authority. Why? Because that first thing about who do you say I am is always step one. I mess that up, the building blocks start to, it's like Jenga, right? It's like, who do you say I am? You're Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah, God's Son, right? That's what's been revealed to you. So I just want to encourage you, right? Thinking about who's your hero, who's your influencer, what voices is confirming this inside of you, right? Lots and lots of other scripture, lots of it in Paul. It's like, hey, don't fill yourself with this. Don't do this. Don't hang out with this. Don't be doing these things. It's all because those are all these other voices that are going to come. They're going to chip away at this thing. Just hang out right here, right? Those things that are good and noble and true. That's the battle for all that right there. But here's who he is. Here's who I say you are. that tells me who I am, and from that place I walk. He gave me the keys and said, good one. Now, you're in charge. Here's the baton, right? Go take care of sickness. Go lay hands on the sick. Go help those who are oppressed. Go bring comfort to the hurting. Go tell the good news of Jesus to other people. Help them with their aha moments. Amen?
Amen.
Yay. All right, so Father, we just say thank you this morning. We thank you that you, Holy Spirit, is our influencer. Holy Spirit is the voice that's speaking to us, confirming who you are and who we are. And when we get confused, God, we just come back to you and say, show me. God, show me. I pray for your love to be poured out on us. God, I ask for dreams and visions tonight. I ask for their imaginations to be stirred in Jesus' name. I pray for signs and wonders to follow them this week. God, and I pray for encounters, multiple encounters with your presence, from TVs to books to movies and radio, God, or just flowers looking out the window. Amen.
Amen.